Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. Today, Massachusetts remembers Martin Luther King Jr.
Here in Boston, state and local leaders mark the national holiday at the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Breakfast at the Convention Center. Among those who paid tribute to the slain civil rights leader was Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey.
Just think, 50 years ago, Barack Obama would not have been president of the United States of America if Martin Luther King had not lived. And as we gather to celebrate this great man, we must ask ourselves, what would Dr. King say about the state of our nation today? He explained that the struggle must be for genuine equality, which more importantly means economic equality as well. And now, ladies and gentlemen, 5 decades later, Dr. King's words and work resonate because while today our society is more affluent overall, it is much more unequal economically.
Martin Luther King had deep roots in Boston. In the 1950s, he studied theology at Boston University. He returned in April 1965 to address the Massachusetts legislature, the first one in the country to invite him to speak.
Earlier today, we caught up with one of King's close associates from Boston. Reverend Michael Haynes is the former pastor of the 12th Baptist Church in Roxbury. That's where he first met King 6 decades ago. Haynes told us that when he follows the news, it often makes him ask, what would Martin Luther King Jr. say? Among the stories that have prompted that question for him lately, the gunning down of political cartoonists in Paris at the Charlie Hebdo magazine headquarters, and the protests over the killing of unarmed black men by police in Ferguson, Missouri, and New York City.
He would be among the prophetic voices that seem to be arising because of the tensions that's spreading through the world. So many things that he said went beyond the province of just the black problem in America. Over and over again, he said, we need to do these things because they're morally right. And I imagine now with all that's going on in the world everywhere, the Middle East, the African nations, that I'm sure he'd be responding to those problems of man's inhumanity to man.
Is there something that you think that he would add to the conversation now?
I mean, he would add to the conversation now?
Yeah, sure.
When he spoke in the Massachusetts House, he used the reiteration that he used quite often in a lot of speeches, now is the time, the urgency of now. And I said to myself, if he thought that then was an urgency, what is going on now scattered across this world would be a super urgency of unimaginable proportions. So I'm sure that he would be joining whoever the prophetic voices are in this nation right now that go beyond the issue of race, just what's happening to the human race. And I'm pretty certain he would be referring that there's something in human behavior that needs to be addressed. He brings it out in one of his papers as a moral issue. There's some disharmony between human behavior and the Creator that needs to be addressed. What's overruling? Some instances, it's money, it's power, and racial supremacy, or even religious supremacy. Even in France, a lot of those folk are migrants coming from other countries that aren't feeling at home. They aren't feeling accepted. They think the problem is France, the problem is government, the problem's the leaders. We aren't accepted. We don't have these opportunities. I used to see some of the same things in the parole board. I tell people all the time, whenever a guy came before the parole board that would say he didn't believe in a God and would swear at members of the parole board. And I said, look out. I said, anytime you find a person that respects no authority, look out. This is a dangerous person.
Well, what does it say to you that he was addressing those things at such a point of urgency then? What does it say about the progress that we have made?
That there are things that we should have done that we didn't do.
Like what?
Education's way at the top. Why are so many kids not getting a good education? There's the problem of jobs.
So what does this tell you?
Somewhere there was something that we should have done that we did not do.
So what does that say about progress that has been made since, say, 1965 when M.L. King spoke in Boston?
I would call them steps in the right direction, but not enough.
What are the steps in the right direction?
I would think when we passed the voting law, we've seen recently things that are done that would slow down opportunities for some people to be able to vote, even in the last election, because people were then going to be required to have IDs for voting and everything. Folk that couldn't read or couldn't get to vote would not have the opportunity for voting. There's something beyond just passing legislation for voting rights. We then have to protect those rights.
You mean we as a people, we as organized governments,
we as leaders.
The majority of people who protested on Route 93 last week, you heard about that, stopping traffic. You're smiling. I want to know your reaction to this. But the majority of people were not black people.
Right.
We're not African Americans.
Right.
I mean, some people might consider that good. Some people not. What do you say?
I found it extremely interesting. I stared at some of the pictures. I looked at it carefully, and I smiled, too. I was looking. I said, are they kidding? There's no blacks out there at all. And I was looking. I was looking for it at a time when we're talking about diversity.
What do you make of the Black Lives Matter movement right now?
Over and over again, I wondered where's the leadership come from? Where's the strategy committee from this come from?
But does that matter? Maybe it's a ground
up
movement.
It really doesn't matter if it's bringing attention to the issue, and leadership is looking at the issue to remedy it. It really doesn't matter. But I'm still concerned. I'm waiting to see who rises. Every time I see anybody talking, I look to see who are they, what do they represent, what school do they represent.
You're looking for the leaders.
I'm looking for the leaders.
We're talking about race now because it is such a peak issue, particularly in America right now. Yes, in Boston, I guess, as ever. But Dr. King, as you've said, had such a broader perspective on the ills of the country and what could be done about inequality, for instance. He spoke out against the Vietnam War. Do you think now, with the generation just growing up now, hearing about M.L. King, seeing his picture, hearing his I Have a Dream speech in particular, that his legacy is being maybe oversimplified, do you worry that maybe there's more of a message there, a broader message really for the world that's being lost?
I think so. I don't know if it's being lost. I guess it is in some instances. It's being left out on some occasions. It rises every once in a while. I think he saw the race thing as being the touchstone in America. This is the hot issue in America. In several of his speeches, he talked about the cancer of America. Well, having suffered through cancer, I respond to that pretty quickly when this cancer is moving through your system. So in America, the thing that keeps arising in America is the hangover from the slavery period, the racial superiority. There are young people who do not see hope. They don't see anything happening to secure their lives. They feel disrespected education-wise, job-wise. This is an ongoing challenge. How do I get respected? How do I feel equal? How do I have equal opportunity? It's heavy.
Reverend Michael Haynes, thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad to spend Martin Luther King Day with WBUR.
And that's the Reverend Michael Haynes recalling his friend Martin Luther King Jr. Haynes is a former state representative and minister emeritus at the 12th Baptist Church. We spoke to him at his home in Roxbury.